What made the early church successful? Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for being good to me. God, I thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to stand tonight behind the sacred desk and, Father, preach your word. I pray for a little while tonight, God, that you'd slide me out of the way. I pray, God, that you'd put a bridle about my lips. God, help me to say nothing, Lord, that you wouldn't want me to say, and only the words, Father, you would have us to say. Lord, if there's anybody here lost, I pray that you save them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. One thing that I enjoy doing, and I pick your pastor's mind on this, I enjoy reading books, and he'll send me different recommendations, and I look at those books, and one thing I think that he and I have in common, we like to read after successful authors. In other words, if we're going to study on a topic, we want to read after somebody that has been successful in that area. And if I want to be a millionaire, I read after David Williams. If I want to know something about something, I want to read after somebody that knows something about it, somebody that's been successful about that. Laying all jokes aside, if I'm going to read on finances, I'm going to read after Dave Ramsey, not Dave Williams. But anyway, I want to read after somebody successful. Well, when we think about the church today, the desire and the burden for every church should be to be successful. I don't think God's interested in us not being successful as the local church tonight. So if we're going to learn how to be successful, I think we need to read a book that was successful with the local church. Now, we know the whole Bible is a book of success. Somebody say amen. But I believe the book of Acts is the greatest book on church success that's ever been written. The greatest book on church growth that's ever been written. And can I just say this to you tonight right before I preach? A lot of times we get caught up in new methods in growing our church. Now, let me explain. There's nothing wrong with social media when it's used in the right manner. Somebody say amen right there. When it's used for the right platform. And there's nothing wrong with promotional videos and posting things on there. And one of our secretaries at the church does a lot of that with our church page. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a success story that's already been written on how the church can be successful. And the best thing we can do is get back to the methods that they used, and we'll see success in our church. I think about this. It's interesting to note that the title of this book is the Acts of the Apostles. The first chapter mentions all the apostles. However, Peter and Paul take an active role in the book. Personally, I think the main character of the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts provides an account of how the church was born, how it developed, how it spread from Jerusalem, the Jewish, to the uttermost parts of the earth, the Gentiles, and how its program of worldwide evangelism was instituted. The method of the early church was simple: preaching the word. Preaching the word. Preaching the word. Thank God for singing today. I thank the Lord for talented people that can play instruments and sing. But there's never been a substitute to old-fashioned King James Bible preaching. Amen. It was preaching the word, individual soul winning, and being mission-minded. Acts is the greatest book on church growth and world missions that's ever been written. The gospel was spread from Jerusalem to Antioch to Rome. Matter of fact, when you think about the word gospel, the first two letters is G-O. It's the word go. And when you come to the book of Acts, no less than 49 times we see the word go. So in other words, there was a church in motion and a church in action. I think about this. Anything that does not continually spread will ultimately die. And if we're not careful, if our churches are not continually spreading, our churches will die. If the church is not growing, the church is dying. A lot of people says, well, there's no need to worry about visitors. Our church is full. If you don't worry about visitors, your church won't be full long. Let me tell you the reason why. Somebody will get sideways and leave, number one. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody will get sideways and leave. And the truth also is this. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're not all going to live forever. So if a new is not coming in, we're dying. I thought about this. I'll preach in just a minute. I thought about this. The book of Acts is a book of origins and beginnings. It's the beginning of the Christian church. The first miracle of the Christian church. The first apostolic sermons. The first Christian persecution. The first Christian martyr. The first Gentile Christians. The first church deacons. The first church business meeting. And the first exercise of church discipline. Boy, we don't hear about that much anymore. But it's all right there. Matter of fact, chapter number 2, verse number 47, had to be an exciting time in the early church. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, they was praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Daily, man. I remember 2016, while we was in meeting in Yadkinville, y'all was in meeting here. And you know what I think about those meetings when I read that verse? Man, you'd go to church and preacher, it seemed like every time you go to church, somebody would come running down the aisle and get saved by the grace of God. Hey, you want to fire the church up? Let people start getting saved. I thought about this. The early church was a converted church. It was a confessing church. It was a continuing church. It was a conquering church. The church did not stand. They marched. She knew nothing of defeat. She never lagged behind. No force could stop her. She knew nothing of retreat. The early church was an impelling force that had to be reckoned with in every community. Matter of fact, it was never defeated. And it never will be defeated because God said this, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church will march on in our day. I thought about this, man. Chapter number 17 and verse number 6 said, who is these people that turned the world upside down? Who is these boys that turn the world upside down? Boy, may we have a testimony in this ain't Graham County. This ain't Buncombe County. This is Yanson County. Yancey County. Amen. Boy, may we have the testimony in Yancey County that Concord Baptist Church turned the county upside down. Well, how was the church successful? How was the church? Number one. And can I just say this? I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts and then we'll go home. Can I just say this? Before I preach to you tonight, I know this works. Can I just say that? I know what I'm fixing to preach works. For two reasons. Number one, it's scriptural. It's right out of the first two chapters of the book of Acts. But number two, I saw it in action. Boy, I've seen God do it. I remember as a boy growing up at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, and when Dad went there in 1985, back in the 1900s, some of y'all don't even know nothing about that, but back in 1985, I remember when Dad went there, I was just 7 years old, and I remember there's just a handful of people, and boy, I saw this right here put into action, and over and over and over, we went through building programs. After building program, and when Dad left, they was running close to 700, supporting 250 missionaries. I know it works. I know it works. I know it works. I've seen God do it where I pastor at. You've saw God do it right here. But every once in a while we need to go to Peter and be stirred up by being put in remembrance. If our church is going to be successful, number one, there has to be powerful intercession. There has to be powerful intercession. What did he say in chapter number 1 of Acts, verse number 14? The Bible said this, these all continued with one accord in a prayer and supplication. Can I say this to you? There must be powerful intercession. I don't have to preach this here because I know you practice it. But boy, if we want the Holy Ghost of God to come down like it did in chapter 1, verse number 8, we're going to have to learn how to pray. I'm telling you, and again, I'm not going to stay here long because I know this is a praying church. But may we never forget the importance of prayer. So many times we use prayer as a 911 service. We use prayer as a spare tire. When things go south, that's when we turn to prayer. But honey, we need a daily prayer life. We need to talk to God on a daily basis. Before our feet hit the ground, we ought to give thanks to God in prayer. We must be praying. Saturday afternoon, and I can't go into the details of it because I know we're on live feed. I shared it with Brother Ryan coming up here, but Saturday afternoon, my wife and I met with a young couple that's been visiting our church a little bit and sat down and began to talk, and I told them about something my wife and I started praying almost a year ago. And as they sat and talked, and we sat and talked, it absolutely blowed my mind how God intertwined every bit of it. How God has, some of those prayers I've been praying now for even a year and a half, how God started bringing it all together. Hey, hear me and hear me well. It wasn't ironic that he done that. It wasn't just some coincidence. Let me tell you what it was. Somebody had got a hold of God. Somebody had prayed, man. Number one, there's going to be powerful intercession if the church is going to be seen. Number two, there must be practical witnessing. There must be practical witnessing. Now, stay with me. Chapter 2, verse number 4. Now, let me get read through what I want to read through before we really judge all this. Chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible said this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that wasn't just some hoopla right there. Are you with me? Matter of fact, I said this. I was preaching out this passage right here out of chapter number 2 in Utah not long ago. And I said, that's not just some Shirley got a Honda. And there was a lady sitting towards the back said, what'd he say? The lady sitting beside of her said, I think he said Shirley bought a Honda somewhere. That's not what that was. Watch this, verse number 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Go with me now to verse number 11. It says in the middle of the verse, it picks up, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue, watch this, the wonderful works of God. Look in chapter 2, verse number 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let me tell you what they was doing. They was having a practical witness in their community. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Door-to-door visitation still works today. Door-to-door. There's nothing wrong with doing mail-outs and every door directs. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with promotional videos. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if we'll just go knock on the door, if we'll invite somebody to the house of God, it still works today. it still worked. I thought about this, and I'm sure your pastor's preached on this. He's preached on the maps and had an expository alliterated outline on it. But in Ruth, you know the story of Ruth. When you get there, when Boaz buys Ruth, you'll read that the Bible said that Boaz bought everything that was Elimelech's, everything that was Chilion's, I'm probably not saying it right, and everything that was Mahlon's. So in other words, Orpah that decided to stay back. Chapter number one, she said, I'm not going. She is bought by Boaz. And that's what it said. He bought it all. Here's the question. I wonder if anybody ever went back and told her, hey, listen, you've been bought. Everything that you need's taken care of. All you got to do is come sit at Boaz's table. All you got to do is accept it. Hear me and hear me well. Some 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus came to earth and he bought everybody. There's a world that just needs to know. You've already been bought. All you got to do is come sit at the King's table. Number two, there's a practical witness. And number one, there was powerful intercession. Number three, watch this. There was passionate preaching. There was passionate preaching, chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, watch this, lifted up his voice and said unto them, he begins to preach to them. You want me to tell you what it takes for a church to be successful? Preaching. It takes preaching, man. It takes preaching. Can I say this? I like loud preaching. Amen. I like quiet preaching. I like deep preaching. I like shallow preaching. I like expository preaching. I like alliterated preaching. I like topical preaching if it's kept in context. Can I just put that in right there? I love it all, man. Just preach. 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 Let me tell you what the world needs today. They need preaching. Let me tell you what the church needs today. They need preaching. Let me tell you what our young people need today. They need a preaching. And I just say this, His word will not return void. If the church is going to be successful, we've got to have preaching tonight. The Lord's blessed us with several pastors out of our church now that's preachers that's sent out of our church. And every Sunday morning, Brother Ryan will tell you this, I text them in a group and I tell them, man, I love you today. I'm praying for you. I hope you have a good day. Or I'll say something different. The other Sunday morning, I sent them a message and I said, men, I love you today. Get up and let it rip, man. Preach the word of God. And old Maynard, just think. I mean, that's what everybody calls him. You can just imagine what kind of person he is. Old Mater Jenkins replied back to it. And here's what he said. He said, I'm planning on spitting my tonsils on the back wall today. You know what he was saying? He was saying, man, I'm planning on letting it rip. Man, just preach. Just preach. Let me tell you, there's two kinds of preaching that makes me want to preach. Those that can't and those that can. Preach! I thought about this. You may say, well, preacher, how do I have a part in that? Well, there's three ways. Number one, by praying for you, preacher. I wonder what would happen if every individual in here between now and Sunday would fast from at least one meal and take that time and turn your cell phone off or put it on do not disturb where just your family could get in touch with you. And you would take that time, whether it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes, if you're Ryan Hayes, 2 hours eating it, just however long you're going to take to eat. And you'd push that meal away. Matter of fact, it did say this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. And you would fast and pray that time and just pray something like this. Number one, get sin out of your life. Somebody say amen right there. So God can hear you. And then just pray this right here over and over. God, fill my preacher Sunday. God, preach him like he's never preached before. God, give him that unusual unction Sunday. Oh, God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Preach him, God, preach him. Let me tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened. I'd get a phone call Sunday afternoon and said they was planning the funeral for Brother Bradley. Because she'd come in here, man, and he'd preach himself to death. How can you help with passionate preaching? Pray for your preacher. Can I say this? Can I say this? Not only pray for him, but be present while he's preaching. Now, y'all all say amen because you're sitting here, okay? This ain't the place for you to get quiet. This place to say amen because you're here. Be present, man. Be present. Oh, well, I'm going to pray for you. I'd love for you to be present. You can pray while you're present. Are you? I understand sometimes due to sickness and different things, but a lot of times it's just straight out sorriness. Come on. We'll get done if you'll help me. Man, be present. But then can I say this? Participate while he's preaching. Brother Ryan, we was talking coming up the road. He was talking about a place to preach the other night. He said, man, there's an old crowd just sat there. I didn't know if he's going to kill me. I didn't know. Said they come out. One of them shook my hand and said, man, I sure did enjoy that. He said, I started to look at him and say, well, why didn't you help me while I was preaching? Man, help the preacher. Watch this. You know what I can do with that dog of mine? I can do like that. This is the truth. She'll take off because she thinks I've thrown something. You know what that does to you, preacher? It's like that dog. Are you with? I used to bear hunt a lot. Used to wild hog hunt with dogs a lot. And them bear dogs would come across the mountain, been running a while. We'd always try to keep some fresh ones right there close by. You know what we'd do? We'd let them hear them others. Ooh, ooh. If they ever got to chopping, they'd probably treat or bait. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But they had to, they're coming across the mountain. You know what we'd do? We'd get them other dogs out, and we'd stand on the side of the ridge, and we'd let them hear that. And we'd start doing something like this. Get in there now. Get in there. Get in there. And boy, them dogs get to shaking. They'd holler a little bit, and we'd tap their snout. And, oh, it ain't time to holler. You'll pull the other dogs off. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. Suddenly, when they'd come by, we'd throw them fresh dogs in there. You know what you done? You got them amped up. You got them amped. You know what? When you go, amen, it's like, get him. Get him. Well, praise God. And when you stand up, honey, look out. I'm telling you, you want to help your preacher? Participate with him. You want your church to be successful? Powerful intercession, practical witnessing, passionate preaching. Watch this. That will produce a penetrating conviction. Chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard... Are you noticing how all of this flows into chapter 2, verse 37? Watch this. Now when they heard this... Heard what? What the Lord... Who the Lord was. Go back to verse 36 to see the context. Who Jesus is. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Let me tell you what'll bring conviction on the sinner. Here's what'll bring conviction on the sinner. Powerful intercession. Practical witnessing and passionate preaching. It will prick them to the heart. Let me move for the sake of time. Number of you say how many points you got? I'm not going to tell you. Number five, watch this. Watch this. They was promised conversions. There was promised conversion. Chapter number two, I told you we was going to be in chapter one and two, so you can tell we're getting towards the end. Look at verse 41. Verse 41, the Bible said this, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I mean, just 3,000 being in service. Are you with me? I think if I had that many, I'd have to grow my hair out longer. You want them big preacher waves going. I'm sorry. I ain't putting no makeup on, though. It don't matter how many comes. Watch this. I got to hush. I'm starting to get too comfortable. Watch this. It's 3,000 say. Let me tell you what that is. That is the promise of God. If we'll do the first four things, well, if we'll do the first three things, God will do the fourth and the fifth thing. We can't penetrate the heart of a hearer. but He can. And if we'll do what He said do, He'll send the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let me tell you what it'll produce. It'll produce sinners walking down the aisle and getting saved by the grace of God. Now I'm going to give you an illustration. We're going to go home. Here about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, Brother Ryan, 3 weeks ago, something of like that. I on a Tuesday evening, I was actually supposed to be in Georgia. And we ended up the meeting got canceled. We ended up not being able to go. And it was Tuesday afternoon. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to ride to Check, Virginia. If you've never been to Check, Virginia, I'm telling you, you can't get there from here. There's no way. I just barely got there from where I live. Check, Virginia. And there's a church up there that I just met the pastor at. And I had a free night. It's the first free night I'd had in a long time. And you said, why didn't you just sit around the house? Well, I needed to get something to eat. I needed to get fed. So he was having revival. I looked the preacher up that was preaching there. I never heard him. But I listened to about 15 minutes of him preaching before I decided to go. You say, well, why'd you do that? Because if he wasn't preaching no good, I wasn't going. Fault me if you want to. You know what I'm saying, don't you? And he was preaching pretty good. So I decided I'd listen to the rest of it going up the road. I jumped in the truck and spared a moment, took off up there. And on the way up there, he got to talking about praying. So he got to talking about it. And I thought, man, he got to talking about revival. He said, if we're going to see a move of God in these days, he said, we're going to have to pray again. He said, we're going to have to get a hold of the horns of the altar. We're going to have to pray, man. And God said, you go to church tomorrow night. You tell the church that Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, you're going to have prayer meeting at 8 o'clock at the church. I said, okay, Lord. So I went to church on Wednesday night. I preached after I got done preaching. I said, hey, look, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, tomorrow night, Friday night, and Saturday night, my family and I is coming to the church at 8 o'clock. I'm not coming to sit around and talk to you. I'm not coming to chew the cud. Y'all know what I'm talking about there. I ain't coming to shoot the bull. I'm coming to pray. I'll give you one verse. I'll give you a simple thought for about 2 or 3 minutes each night, and then we're going to pray that God does something in our church. And God had been blessing in our church, but I don't ever want to get satisfied. So that's what we did. We'd come back Thursday night, and I'd give them a little verse, we prayed. Come back Friday night, I'd give them a little verse, we prayed. Come back Saturday night, give them a little verse, we prayed. And there's anywhere from 30 to 40 showed up all 3 nights just to pray. I went into church Sunday morning, opened my Bible, and preached on hell. Boy, the Lord helped me, and man, I'm telling you, it's just the Lord. They didn't nobody get saved, and I thought, well, Lord, are you awake? Are you awake this morning? Are you with me? I mean, there's several there that acknowledged they was lost, but they wouldn't move. And Sunday night, we went back in. And whenever we got back in there Sunday night, the choir got up. Man, they knocked it out of the ballpark. And then the children's family got up to sing, a family in our church. And they sung one. And whenever they got done singing it, I just kind of felt like I needed to sing another. Y'all with me? And I said, Brother Elijah, just sing another. He said, all right. His mama rolled across the keys on the piano. And just real brief, it's unreal what all they've been through in recent days. Her mama and her daddy both. Her daddy was an old time, leather lung, hacking, spitting, high blood pressure, bug eyed, black back Schofield carrying, y'all understand, mountain preacher. I mean old time. Oh, I'm talking about old timey. And they are. And they both died within just a couple of days of each other with COVID. They ended up having to postpone the funeral because right after that, her brother got deathly sick and almost died. Ended up making it. And my dad and I and another preacher done her mom and dad's funeral at the same time. It's the only time I've ever done that, preacher. But husband and a wife, two coffins. She rolled across the keys of that piano and she said something like this. Well, I've not always been faithful. But He has. And then it was and I thought, oh yeah. And I'm going to tell you, for about the next 45 minutes, it went into orbit at Amazing Grace. And it was one of those orbits where everybody wasn't running around shouting. Everybody was running to the altar. And I started watching God, families that had issues in them that only I knew and that family knew. Families that had controversies in them that only I and them knew. I watched God start putting it all back together right there on the altar. Well, a little bit of time passed. People started hugging necks with each other, making things right with each other. People started coming to me that I didn't even know that they didn't like me. They had a problem with something I'd done. Saying, "Preacher, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm behind you. Whatever God wants us to do, let's just go on and do a work for God." So we prayed. After we prayed at the closing of the service, I just said this: "I'm coming back to church tomorrow night. If you want to come back, you can come back." I called Brother Ryan. I said, "You come preach tomorrow night, or at least come have something ready to preach. I don't know what's going to happen." Man, we got back that Monday night. We didn't put it on Facebook. I just called Brother Ryan. I said, I didn't tell nobody to pray. I just called Brother Ryan and said, "We have a meeting. Come be ready to preach." We got back Monday night, and there was four guests besides our people. And our church was packed slap out. The choir got up, and my soul, I'm telling you, they sound like I ain't never heard them sing before. Brother Ryan preached the house down. Got done preaching, gave the altar call, the altar filled up. Tuesday night we came back. Whenever we came back on Tuesday night, I noticed that there was a gentleman on the right, his name's Dustin, that wasn't there. Let me back up about a month. There was a guy named Dustin, I didn't know that was his name at the time, walked in on a Sunday morning, sat down on the far right-hand side, walked out after service, shook my hand, said, "It's good to be here this morning." And I said, "It's good to have you. I hope you'll come back and see us." He said, "I'll be back next Sunday." He wasn't there Sunday night or Wednesday night. He came back the following Sunday, and he come out and he shook my hand, and he said this. He said, "You don't know who I am." And I said, "No, I don't, but I'm glad you come back to church today." And he said, "Well, let me tell you how I learned about the church." He said, back during COVID, you encouraged your people after everything started settling down to knock on the doors just right around their house. Just to go to the houses right next to them, knock on their door, give them a brochure, put a door hanger on it, and invite them to church. He said, Shara Holder and her girls knocked on my door and invited me to church. He said, "I drove up through here about a year and a half ago and watched y'all when you started moving all the equipment in to start moving. We moved a great big bank beside the church and built a new sanctuary." And he said, "I'd ride by every week and I'd watch what was going on." He said, "I just decided to come by and see what was happening." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I like it and I'll be back tonight." He hadn't missed no services from that point to that Tuesday night. And I thought, well, I wonder where Dustin's at. Well, me and Brother Ryan, he got done preaching. We went to my office, sat down in my office, drank a cup of coffee. I'm right now done. Went to my office, sat down, drank a cup of coffee. And I looked down and there was a message on my phone from Dustin. He said, "I need you to call me." And I said, "Well, buddy, the preacher's here and I'm talking to him. It'll be a little while, but I'll call you." He responded right back, "Can I come?" I said, "Come on." He just lives right up the road from the church. He comes sliding in the driveway. Me and Brother Ryan was just sitting in there chewing the cud, drinking a cup of coffee. He come running in my office and sat down. I'm talking about a very successful businessman. That you would look at him and think he's got everything together. Matter of fact, he had told me about when he walked down the aisle in a church and said he got saved. He sat down, he looked at Ryan and he looked at me and he busted out crying. And I said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" He said, "You say you ought to have a little more compassion. I know, pray for me." I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Preacher, you got up yesterday morning and you preached on hell." He said, "Well, just, I'm sorry I wasn't here tonight." And I said, "Well, that's all right. Continue on what you said." He said, "You preached on hell and you preached on if you died and went to hell, you wasn't ever going to get out. He said, "Preacher, on Sunday morning, there's something God is moving around in me." He said, "I just don't know." He said, "Come back Sunday night." He said, "I come back last night." He said, "I watched the preacher traveling home today, or while he was today, he's making his order." He said, "I watched the preacher while I was making an order for our business today." He said, "Preacher, I just don't know. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell. Preacher, what I need to do?" Number one, I didn't try to convince him he was saved, because I think God done convinced him he's lost. I said, "Well, son, only you and God knows whether or not you're saved." I said, "What do you think you need to do?" He said, "I need to get saved." I said, "Well, here's what the Bible says." I got done quoting just a verse or two. Man, he bent over and went to praying out loud. Me and Brother Ryan slid in there beside of him and went to praying. He prayed a little bit. We got done praying. And he looked up, and Brother Ryan looked straight at him. That narcotics interview look. He said, "Dustin," I was about to say, "Yes, sir, what do you need?" He said, "If you died right now, where would you go?" He said, "I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved." Can I tell you something? What happened? Here's what happened. Somebody decided it was time to pray. Somebody knocked on the door. A preacher got up and preached. The Holy Ghost convicted the sinner, and the sinner was saved. You want your church to be successful? That right there is the way it is. Can I show you one more thing? Look in verse 46. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, comma, praising God goes with continuing." If the church is going to be successful, there must be praising God continually. When we go to taking credit for this, God will shut her down. Do you hear what I just said? When we think we're the ones that done it, when we say, "Oh, look what I've done. Oh, look what I've done." Matter of fact, one of our secretaries started posting reels, and she said, "You need to say this, or you need to do a devotion. I've done a little devotion." She posted it, and I was like, "I don't know about that." And she said, "Preacher, we've got to understand what we're doing it for. It's not for the praise of man. It's to get the gospel out." And I'm going to tell you, at first it bothered me, preacher, because I don't want nobody saying, "Well, they're just trying to build their own name up." No, it's why are we doing what we do? And if it's for the glory of God, it's in order. If it's to get souls saved, it's in order. Hear me and hear me well. The reason this building is not here or is here tonight, it's not because of Pastor Boone. And it's not because of you. It's because the God of glory showed favor on Concord. And when we take credit for it, God will shut it down. You want your church to be successful? Right there is the way the early church was successful. Father, as the pastor comes, I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the invitation hour. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Father, to stay in tune with you and to have a successful church, preacher.
Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Instruments tonight. I believe the Lord spoke to our heart as a church tonight. And we've been talking about some of those things around here the last few weeks anyway. God knows what He's doing. I wonder tonight, there'd be some of you to slip out of your pew and say, "Yes, preacher, I'd love to see church be a success. I'd love to see what the Lord want me to do involved in that." And I just want to come pray about that. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for help of church. These coming folks moving all over the house. Preacher, tonight I want to come. I want to come and pray and ask the Lord. That's good preaching. I agree with that 100%. So others are coming. I said, "Preacher, I want to come tonight. Sure would love to see the church be a success." And